Hello and welcome. I'm Michelle Martin Johnson and I'm your host for the Ready for the Riot Guy event. This is year 6 of this event. And I'm thrilled and honored to have you here, and I'm so excited to host a wonderful, wonderful panel of experts. And I'm really excited about welcoming back a returning guest, and that is the lovely Deborah Moorhead. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm so excited to be here. I can't believe it's been 6. You just have done and put together such great information for all of these amazing women. And I'm excited to be here and be a part of another year with you. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. I always love connecting with you and love what you have to share. Love your contribution. Love your story. And I'm excited about the topic today because I think the topic today is really, really key. And no one else is talking about this yet on this event. So I'm excited to hear your perspective. We're going to be talking about 3 keys to attracting the love you want by putting yourself first. Now, before we dive in, Deborah, I want to just give a real quick formal introduction. And when I read through this before our interview, I did laugh because I do remember you telling me this story and just how painful it was to hear this story. So imagine having the life and relationship you have always desired. After being stood up on her 30th birthday by her drug-addicted boyfriend, Deborah Moorhead was determined to figure out this relationship stuff. Yeah, that was a big wake-up call, right?
Yes.
And she did. Along with her 25 years experience as a therapist, her number one best-selling book, Conscious Love, Enlightened Relationships, and Soulful Sex, and her effective happiness freedom formula are tools that Deborah has that she can help you with to have the power to create your own happy and amazing relationship. So that's what this is all about. This event is about being ready for love with the right guy. And Deborah's going to be sharing with us 3 keys to attracting the love you want by putting yourself first. So before we jump in, Deborah, why did you choose this topic?
You know, after doing this for so many years, I've worked with women who have come to me wanting a relationship and have been in really horrible relationships and breakups. I've worked with women who are in the midst of divorce, and it's just one of the things that I have seen time and time again, and I did it in that relationship for my 30th birthday, where we kind of lose ourselves. We forget who we are in the midst of the relationships, and we lose ourselves. And so it's really, really important that by remembering to put ourselves first, we are going to attract and be open and ready for the right kind of love, the emotionally healthy relationship, which is what we all long for when we want to be in a relationship, but just don't quite know how to get there.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think that putting yourself first is such a key to this? I resonate with that and agree with you, by the way. Yes. I just want to hear your perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the thing is that there's a few different things that go on, I think, for us and for us as women. In general, for us, what ends up happening when we are falling in love, and it's falling in love is why it's called what it is, right? Is because one of the things that happens is that, some of you may know this or not, but believe it or not, the mate selecting part of our brain is in our hind brain. And our hind brain is all about safety and survival. So when we go to, when we start to fall in like with someone and think about, oh, well, maybe, possibly, and this could be, and all that kind of stuff, that is coming from our survival safety part of our brain, right? It's kind of the primitive or the caveman brain, and we need to, right? To stay alive back in primitive days, we absolutely needed to have a partner, and we had to be part of a tribe, and that was part of survival. And so the way that brain still works, that part of our brain still works from that perspective. So and then we know that when we start to fall in like and then in love, is there's some chemical stuff that goes on, and it needs to go on because we need to kind of have all of those different infatuation feelings in the relationship. So chemical stuff is going on. We're kind of in a survival safety once we start to attach to somebody. And we move into the fear of being rejected, if they may not like me. And then with the chemical stuff going on where we want to spend more time with the person and everything else, it's so easy to slide down the slippery slope of focusing so much on the relationship and the fear of rejection and they may not like me, that we slowly forget to prioritize ourselves. We slowly lose ourselves or forget what our priorities are, what our goals, who we are in certain ways. And then for women, both in our society, and we have women have oxytocin, which is that cuddle hormone. It's very easy for us to just kind of, not always, I guess not always people please is me, but we kind of like, I want to make sure everything's okay and he's okay. And so it's so easy for us to kind of forget or give up our lives and what's important to us.
Yeah. And I think this is interesting too, Deborah, because I think this is a big fear for a lot of women, is that they are going to get lost or swallowed up in a relationship. They're going to lose that sense of self or their autonomy or their ability to live their lives in the way they want to. It's a big fear. I hear that all the time.
Yeah, it is. And, we go back. That's why I tell my story about my 30th birthday, because that's exactly what I did in that relationship. I did lose myself. He was so cute and I was so attracted to him and I so liked him and I wanted to be, with him, and I was willing to do whatever it kind of took. And I tolerated, and we've all done it. We've all had our worst relationships. I tolerated him standing me up. I tolerated him stealing from me for getting, some of his drugs that he was doing. I tolerated him cheating on me. So there was a lot that I tolerated because I had already selected him in my brain and I liked him and I wanted, I wanted to be with him, and just kind of gave up who I was and what was really important to me in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're talking about three keys to attracting the love that you want by putting yourself first. Can we dive into the keys?
Absolutely. Sounds good to me. So let me talk a little bit about key number one. And there's a reason why these kind of all go together. So key number one is you've got to know your non-negotiables. And I want to explain, and I'm sure Michelle, this, but I want to explain kind of a little bit about what they are, but why it's so important for you to know that. And it kind of fits with some of the story, right? So the non-negotiables are, of course, those black and whites, those absolutely must-haves or deal breakers. We just have to know those. Now, that is not the long list of, 6'2" and blonde hair and, he makes this much money and he drives that. That's not what non-negotiables are. Non-negotiables really truly are those absolutely must-haves. If non-negotiables usually around the deeper things, values, beliefs, lifestyle. So I worked with somebody for a while, and she was going to veterinarian school. She had lots of animals. And for her, one of her must-haves is somebody that loved animals, but she knew she always wanted to have animals in her life. And that was a definite deal breaker for her. You know, for someone who may be young and knowing that they absolutely know they want to have children, then you need to know that's that this person that I'm going to be with must, you know, want to have children as well. If you had an alcoholic dad, and one of the things that is a deal breaker for you is anybody who has substance abuse issues of any type or whatever, that's a deal breaker. You're not willing to you know, negotiate around that. So. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the ideas of non-negotiables. The reason, so now let's talk about why that's a key. Everything I was just telling you about how why we lose ourselves and kind of forget ourselves and what goes on in the back of our brain when we're first falling in like and falling in love is we, if we don't know our non-negotiables, we will give them up and they will come back to bite you in the butt. They will be a problem in the relationship. There will be resentment. Like if I want to have a, if I want to have kids and you kind of go, no, I'm not really sure I want to have any kids, but you both ignore that. And then you go all the way through, you commit, you get married, and then it becomes a fight or a consistent fight or argument. You want to have kids. He doesn't, you know, you resent because he doesn't, or let's say you do something, you know, even, you know, kind of around behind and you get yourself pregnant and by not telling, and then it becomes a problem of resentment. And so you have to know what your non-negotiables are. And you want to, when I work with women and I teach about the non-negotiables, what you really want to know is it shouldn't be more than, you know, I mean, you shouldn't have more than 10 non-negotiables. I usually work with women that, you know, that it's 5 or 6 that are the core most important things in their lives. And you want to know that. And within the first, I always recommend people within the first 3 dates, you need to be asking miscellaneous questions that kind of let you know whether it matches the non-negotiables or not. Because if it doesn't, you don't want to be wasting your time and getting too attached to the person. So if you know your non-negotiables, you ask miscellaneous questions, then you don't waste your time and you're not attracting somebody that isn't, you already know isn't going to be a match, but just ignoring it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this is really so important to know and to pay attention to, because absolutely it's going to cause trouble over the long run of the relationship if you don't have those shared values on a non-negotiable thing. Yeah. You know, for older women, it might be, you know, one is a spender, one's a saver, or one wants to travel all the time and one doesn't. But if those things are really important to you, yeah, that's something really important to you. Like, for example, our finances are often tied to our feeling of security. That's, and mm-hmm. you marry someone who's a spender, and that's going to be a source of conflict on an right. ongoing basis.
Yeah. And that's basically what you're doing. You're setting yourself up for conflict. And that's why it's about putting yourself first. So I'm going to tie back to that, right? So if I know what my non-negotiables are and I don't give them up just because, oh, he's cute, or, oh, I like him, or, oh, he, you know, he has these few good things, but I know that this is the places that, you know, we're not matching, then it's going to be a problem. So you have to be self-aware. You need to take some time to know what your non-negotiables are. And then, you know, again, like, let's say, you know, I mean, this is an easy one. You say you're not going to go in the first date because if you want to have kids, you're not going to go up and say, do you want to have kids on the first date? But you ask questions. You go, hey, you know, one of my favorite things to do is to go to the park and watch little kids play. Or, you know, do you have any nieces or nephews that you play with? Or those kind of things. And you can start to get a sense of whether there's an openness to kids or not, or but whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, the traveling, hey, you know, I just came back from this trip, and do you ever travel, and what do you like? You ask questions so you learn about the person, and you want to do it quickly, like I said, really within 3 dates, because you don't want to get too attached. And that's how, by knowing your non-negotiables, being aware of that, and asking questions, and then just stepping out of the relationship within 3 dates, then you know you'll be able to attract the right kind of man that matches those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's very important. So should we go to key number two?
Yes. So key number two is going back to that part of our brain, right, that is fearful of rejection, and all of that. The biggest problem is when we start to really get into all of those, and the chemical stuff starts to go inside of our brain and everything, and we get all of those excited feelings and everything else, we start to go, oh, I hope he likes me. Or what do I need to do for him to like me? Or what do I need to not do for him to like me? And we get all caught up into those things. And the problem is we turn it around to where we're more in fear of him not liking or rejecting us. When the way to do it is to go into every date remembering that you're evaluating whether you like him or not, whether he's the right match for you. That's putting yourself first. That's keeping you in mind that, hey, my life, my lifestyle, what's important to me, the way I want to be treated, all of those are more important, and that I need to hold on to and keep in mind first. So my job is to evaluate him. So a lot of times what I do when I'm working with women is I tell them when they're going on those first dates, get to wherever you're going to be meeting early. Go into the bathroom of where you're going to meet. Take a few minutes, do some nice deep breathing so that you're getting connected to your prefrontal cortex. You're integrating your brain, not just coming from the back part of your brain. And then do a power stance, because it really gets you into your position of empowered. I'm the one that's important and I'm evaluating him. And if you're not familiar with some of the power stances, there's different ones. There was a study that was done, I think her name was by Cuddy, and she found that when people stayed in the power stance for, I think it was like 5 minutes, they were more empowered. So the power stance, the one that's the easiest to do in a bathroom stall, is the Wonder Woman power stance. So you put your hands on your hips, you know, your legs are at a shoulder length apart, shoulder length, and you stand there and do some breathing. And if you have a few mantras or a few things that you say to yourself or remind yourself about, you know, all the value that you bring to the relationship, and just stay in that position for that time period, that will get you out there. And in that kind of position, remembering I'm deciding, I'm evaluating, you know, what's his behaviors? How does he treat me? And that keeps you in that position of you're keeping yourself first, and then you are evaluating him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this is so true, because I do think it's so easy to be in that mode when you date someone, to be thinking, does he like me? Does he like me? Is he going to choose me? Blah, blah, blah. And when we can shift into, do I like him? Do I feel good around him? Is that, am I being treated well? Am I able to be myself around him?
Yes.
You know, and you're looking at it from that that point of view, it is a form of taking care of yourself and putting yourself first. Yeah. And I do think that's really, really important. And it also helps us to avoid that temptation to try to pretzel into who we think someone might want or want to be.
Right. Yeah. Yep. That's exactly right. So that's the number two.
All right. And I can't wait to hear what number three is.
So number three, let me tell a story for a moment. And this is why this one is so important. And it is about putting yourself first. So I worked with a woman who was coming to see me, and her husband was cheating on her. And when she confronted him and everything else, basically, he was pretty clear. He didn't want to end the marriage, but he was pretty clear that he had no intentions of ending the affair. And so she came to see me in this very, very kind of lost and confused place. And, you know, she didn't, she either had the choice of stay in the marriage and kind of be the wife with another woman or end the marriage. And so we had to just sort through really what that meant and what she wanted to. But at some point in our time together, we really were looking at what happened in the marriage, what was going on in the marriage that had even, you know, led up. I'm very careful. Affairs are always, whoever is the cheater, it's their choice to go outside of the marriage. It's never any fault of the other person. But we do know that usually when affairs happen, there is definitely some emotional disconnect that has happened in the relationship. So we were just kind of looking over the marriage and everything else. And I asked a really, really important question that was a big, like, aha light bulb for her. And it really allowed, it shifted everything for her. And my question was, before you met him, who were you? What were some of your interests and things that you loved to do? Who were you hanging out with? You know, your friends, what did you do, your hobbies, your interests? And I asked her that question. And she sat and she realized that the things she had done, the priorities, the goals she had, the interests she had, the friends she would hang out with, the things she would do, she had actually stopped doing all of that in the relationship. And so that last one is, you have absolutely, even when you start dating and you've figured out, okay, he passed the non-negotiables and now I'm into the committed relationship, you absolutely must keep your own life going forward. You have to remember that, first of all, he fell in love with that person. He fell in love with that interesting, had this hobby, did this thing, you know, had that life going on. And so it's really important that you keep that going. And it's important for so many different reasons. I mean, one is, again, that's who he fell in love with. Two, if you, and this is what we do, if you conform and forget yourself and lose yourself and give up all the things that you love and parts of who you are in this relationship, then the biggest problem is then you're looking at way too much at that this relationship, this man is going to satisfy you. And I'm telling you now, one man is never going to satisfy you in your life. We have to have so many other things. And then you get to, you know, both you and he are the, I talked about this with another one of my couples at one point. You guys get to be the cherry on top of each other's lives. And that's what you want to be. So yeah, have a great, wonderful relationship and, you know, be in love and find all the different ways to do all the great things to keep that relationship with some spark in it. You know, we need that wonderful sexual tension because that's what makes it a relationship, not a, just a straight friendship. But the main way to do that is you've got to keep your own life going forward, your own, this is one of my goals, or this is a new goal, or this is my interest and hobby, or hey, you know what, I have always gone 1 weekend away with my friends or 1 week away with my friends, and that's not going to stop just because I'm in this relationship with you, because I get rejuvenated and I come back and then I'm more fully present and available in this relationship. So that is the number three, is keep your own life going forward.
Yeah, and I think this is so important, Deborah, because you think about it, we've all been that person, or we've experienced that with a friend where we meet someone or our friend meets someone, and then suddenly even really close friends, they no longer have time for each other. Right?
Yep.
Here.
Exactly.
It's like, and I know one of the big fears for women, we talked about this already, is that they're going to be swallowed up in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And yet I've experienced, because I've now been in a marriage relationship with my husband, which has actually given me wings. It's given me more freedom and more opportunity.
That's the way it should be, yes.
But one of the reasons for that is that I do continue to do my work and my thing and things that I'm passionate in, the things that I'm interested in. And I think this is just so key, mm-hmm. not only to a successful relationship, but to a fulfilling life.
Yeah, I agree. That's 100%. Yes. And that's why it's one of the important ones, I think. So, I mean, they're all very important. If you want to attract and really be ready to receive the good kind of love, you know, that we're all are desiring in our lives, those are the three things that I really strongly encourage the women I work with to make sure they're doing.
I love those three things. They're really, really important. Now, what else should I ask you, or should I be asking you, that you want to add to this topic?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. You know, I'm going to go back a little bit, because I didn't go into this with the evaluating, but I'm going to go back to the evaluating a little bit, and really it's an extra little plus. And that is that you've got to make sure that you practice self-assertion. When you are evaluating, the main way you're going to know whether this is an emotionally healthy guy and whether this has the potential of being a really one of those, you know, great relationships, don't just say, oh, well, he behaved badly, so now I don't want to be with him. Well, I guess it depends on what the behavior is, but, you know, let's say you're at a restaurant and he, you know, is kind of rude to the waiter or waitress, right? You've got to come back and think about, well, how did I feel in that situation? Or if you can do it in the moment, but you got to do it kindly and gently and not with a criticism. So you've got to speak up, and because it's the only way you learn whether this really is an emotionally healthy guy. If I speak up and kindly and gently and say, you know, I found myself feeling a little confused and uncomfortable when you said, when you were kind of, it seemed to me like you were being rude when you said to the waiter, and hurry up and, you know, get my coffee or whatever it is. And I just need to know, help me more to understand what was going on in that situation. And then you listen, you know, and he goes, oh, you know, if he says, well, I just think that service people, we're paying them, and so they should always treat us well, and blah, 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 blah. That tells you something versus somebody that goes, you know, now that I think about it, I just had a really stressful day at work, and that was really rude of me. And I'm so sorry that that made you feel uncomfortable. And that was not okay that I did that. And, you know, and you were right. I need to pay more attention to that, so I don't do that. Right? There's a big difference between those two responses. But if you don't say anything, then how are you going to know? That second response is going to tell me a lot about whether or not this is a man who can take responsibility, apologize appropriately. And then, of course, then I'm going to, because I'm still evaluating him, then I'm going to see how he is as we go forward in our, you know, in the next time we're going out and see him around waiters.
Yeah, because ultimately what we're looking for is a pattern of behavior over a period of time, because anyone can have an off day or an off moment.
That is correct.
The way you modeled that allowed for maybe this was an off day or an off moment.
Right.
Without us immediately coming to the conclusion this is a bad or unhealthy person. Right.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be the thing I would add just as a reminder.
Okay. I love that, Deborah.
Yeah.
So I know you have a free gift for us.
Nice.
It's called the Best Use Self-Care's Activity Checklist, right?
Yes, it is. I know. It has a little name to it. Yeah, you know what? I thought this would be a really fun gift to be able to give, because the last thing I said, right, is keep going forward with your own life. Now, there's lots of different ways to do that, right? Know what your hobbies and interests are and all of that. But the self-care checklist, what I like about this is it has you know, a long list in many different categories of ways, both small little ways that don't take much time at all, and then longer ways that can take, you know, more chunk of your time. But things that really slow you down, prioritize yourself, do a self-care thing, get yourself present in the moment, and just really just take care of yourself. So I thought this would be a great gift to give to everyone, and it's just a reminder of I need to keep myself as a priority.
Mm-hmm. I think it is a wonderful gift, and I think it is such an important reminder. Again, not just for your love life, but for your life in general.
Yeah.
Because I think women are so stretched so thin so often because we give so much to so many people.
Uh-huh.
And if you're feeling that way at all, when you're listening to this,
get this.
This is the perfect time to tap into that self-care zone.
Yes, please do.
And keeping yourself up there on that priority list is always a good and healthy thing to do, because the truth is, we have so much more even to give to a relationship when we're caring for ourselves first.
Yes.
Put your oxygen mask on first, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And that's really, you know, remember, and for any women out there that are also mothers, this is really important. Plus you're role modeling the importance of self-care. We are more present and more available to our loved ones the way we want to be when we take time to take care of ourselves first.
Yeah. So everybody listening, you can get Deborah's gift, her checklist, by clicking on the link below the video or audio that you're watching or listening from. And Deborah, I want to thank you for being so generous with your wisdom and for the things you've shared, because I think they're really important. I think these three keys are really key to having the kind of relationship that you want. And it's kind of counterintuitive in a way, right? Because
yes,
sometimes we think the more we give to someone else, and there is that place for giving, but the more we give to someone else, the better the relationship's going to be. But not if we lose ourselves in the midst of all of that.
That's right. That's correct.
Right.
So that's why putting yourself first in all of these steps are the keys.
Yeah. Okay, so Deborah, thanks once again. And everyone that's watching, we thank you for being here. We thank you for being a student of love and life and for joining us on this event. And we hope to see you for more of Ready for the Right Guy. Bye for now.